Hey, I'm Ellie. I just sat down with Tom Ward. He's over there, and we're excited to talk. Let's get into it!
Welcome to the Tom Ward Show, where we talk to the biggest creators in the world, and we have such a creator. Ellie Zeiler, creator, student, fashion influencer, and advisor to the White House.
Wow.
That's pretty cool to have in your bio.
That really is. I know. Who knew? I was like, oh yeah, I do that stuff.
I read how that came to be, that you got a message, some random message from like a management company saying like, hey, we represent the White House. Like, are you interested? I would delete that. Like, who's this psycho? But
no,
did you take it seriously?
I thought that it was like some random mail junk, whatever. And I was like, this is so crazy. And then at the bottom, it was like highly confidential. Can't talk about it to anyone. And I'm like, oh my God, this is legit. It's crazy.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And so what were you doing? You were pro COVID vaccine?
It was pro COVID vaccine. The vaccine just came out and the White House really wanted to team up with influencers to get the vaccine out, especially to Gen Z. So they called me like the Gen Z vaccine gal. I was like, go get it, go get it.
Yeah.
And so I really talked about that. And then I talked to Dr. Fauci. We did a bunch of interviews. And then from there, a bunch of news sources came in. So I was on the New York Times.
I saw that, yeah.
And CNN and all these different things. So
nice.
That was really great, yeah.
Did you, it's so positive, but there's always haters.
Always.
Anti-vax people.
Oh,
did
yeah.
Did they come at you?
Oh, my God. Yes. If you go back to the videos, like sometimes when...
Are they on your YouTube channel?
Yes, they are. They're on my YouTube channel and my TikTok. They're all still up. I didn't turn off the comments or anything.
Nice.
But whenever people ask me to get them or even for college applications, you can link videos and things into your application. It's like, I don't know if I want to link this because all the comments are so mean.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
And what if the admission officer is anti-vaxxer?
That's what I was thinking
too. That's going to be bad news.
No, I know.
Denied.
Trust me, I know. But hopefully they see me trying to do something good. Hopefully.
You know, I was thinking of an interview I did before, because you're applying to colleges, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. And we're not fucking around with community colleges. I went to not that there's anything wrong with community colleges.
Literally
I went that way.
Nothing wrong. No. I hope that you know that is my plan. If I don't get in, I will happily go to community college for a year or 2 years and then transfer if I want to. But nothing against it.
No. But right now we're shooting for the stars. You're looking at what colleges are you applying to?
I'm applying to 2 days ago, I just finished my USC application. I'm applying.
No rowing, team admission scandals. Was this a legit application?
It was legit.
I saw your mom.
Oh
Did your
God,
mom
no.
help out? Was
no,
she,
no.
No funny
it's,
business?
No funny business. It's all me. It's literally all me. I did see a few comments when I did mention, I was like, yeah, I'm applying. I just finished my first application. Some comment came in. They're like, there's no way you do so much. There's no way you did it. I'm like, oh my God, I swear. If this is going to be another round of hate, if I get into college, I swear it'll be fine though. Hopefully.
What other colleges are you looking at?
I'm looking at USC, NYU.
Nice.
I'm applying to Brown, Columbia, and like a bunch of pretty much all of the UC schools, so UCSB, UCLA, all of them, pretty much.
Nice.
It's
so competitive. If you're not from here, it's so competitive to get into any of them.
So competitive. So, and that's kind of the thing that I was thinking about it's more about proving it to myself that I can do it. I have a bunch of other motives, obviously, to go to college, but when I did start social media in quarantine, now getting out of it, I still have that, like, highly competitive high school mindset of like, once you graduate high school, you're going to college and then you're going to do this, which it's crazy to think that like there are other paths that you can do without going to college like I'm in right now and like continue and be successful and learn about business without even going to business school. But with that being said, I do really want to go and at least get in first. Then I can make that decision.
Why bother? If I'm you, you're 17 years old. If I'm 17-year-old, 10 million followers, doing brand deals, top of the world, screw college. I can go later if I ever fall off. But like, why not just You know, because a lot of influencers do that. They do the homeschool, high school thing.
And there's nothing wrong with that,
and then they just never go.
Totally. And I completely see that side to it where it's like, ride this out until, you know, the gas falls out or the gas whatever goes down, and then start that new chapter of your life. I think that...
You're smart. You're doing the right thing.
Thank you. But, like, most of all, I really want to go to college to be an educated person. I just, like, with the vaccine and the White House, like, me talking to Dr. Fauci and being able to share true, real information with my followers, I want to go to college so I can learn about social issues and create my own opinion and be educated so then I can educate my followers as well. So I even described this on my application that it's like, I'm not just taking me, I'm taking all of these people, all of these young people, and I want to teach them what you are going to teach me. So that's my motive. I really want to be an educated person and have people look up to me and respect me for my opinions.
You know, you remind me, I interviewed Amelie Zilber.
Yeah.
And you remind me of when I was doing research, I'm like, I wonder if she looks to her because she's at Georgetown. She's, you know, she's beautiful. She's a model. She does the fashion thing like you do.
She's great.
Do you, did you like look to her at all and kind of what she's doing and go, wait, I can do the same thing. I can manage it.
That's very interesting. I don't think I ever looked. I think it's hard to look at other people and like be like, I want to be like them or I want to be on their path because I feel like I'm a very... Like, I'm in my own bubble, and since the beginning, I've always wanted to go to college, and so my mindset hasn't changed that once I want to get through college, I want to be educated. Now I have all of these people that I can educate for them, but Amelie is great. She's my friend, so
yeah,
she's great. I love her.
No one is more politically aware than Amelie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 24/7.
I know,
which
I
is great.
It.
It's a great message.
It is.
And you're similar. Like, you have some causes. I read in high school, I got to look at my notes. You, what is it called?
TGAO.
Together as One.
Abbreviated, but yes. Together as One. We couldn't get the Instagram handle, Together as One, so it was just TGAO movement.
So what was it? It was fighting prejudice, or what made you start that?
It was fighting prejudice. So a lot of people don't know this, but I was made fun of for being Jewish my whole life. I lived in North Carolina, so like the deep South, and I was really harshly made fun of for being Jewish. And
is that where you grew up, North Carolina?
No, I just lived there for 1 year. I've moved a lot, but I grew up in California, and then I moved there in 7th and 8th grade, and then I came back. But I've been to like 10 schools, like a lot of schools. So we've moved a lot, which I think has benefited me, especially in my career now. But Together as One started because I dealt with prejudice in North Carolina and I came back. I dealt with more anti-Semitism. And then there was a shooting at my home synagogue. And so that was the moment that I was like, I need to start something. My whole community, even adults, didn't know what to do. You know, they didn't know how to relate to Jews and help them and all these people.
You're just like everybody else.
What
isn't
do you
that mean
crazy?
How to relate to them?
Like
you're an alien or something.
No, it's seriously ridiculous. But I mean, people do have that mindset towards anyone that has a...
I guess.
Who's
I
different
know.
Than them.
Sure.
And so the whole idea of Together as One was to mitigate bias in our community. And at high school, it became the biggest club at high school in my high school.
Well, that's
and
cool.
In my county and everything. We donated a bunch of money. And now it's just kind of like this kindness machine. And so I took that kind of high school little club mindset, and then now I'm trying to put it on this huge platform that I was worked for.
So what are you doing now with it? Like, is still an Instagram account you do, or do you just try to apply that in your content? Awareness.
I try to apply it in my content. Again, with going to college, I think that I do want to start kind of a new chapter where it is talking more about being open-minded and being more open. But again, I feel like I really need to go study and be educated on different cultures and different people and where they come from, so then I can talk about it to other people. Because the internet is so fake that like I could look up, you know, where these people came from, but it doesn't do it justice than being in a class.
And you don't want to be some dumb kid on TikTok spouting out whatever you heard from somebody else.
Exactly.
You know, then like a month later go, oh, wait a minute, that's not true. I shouldn't have said that.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes, 100%. So that's my goal.
It seems like you've got kind of a long-term mindset. Like, hey, I'm not just here today to make the quick buck.
Yeah.
I'm going to college. I'm going to educate myself, planning for the future. 100%. And then I could, you know, now you could even go, okay, I can keep going. I could get married, you know, do like marriage influencers,
thing.
Kid, mommy 100%. Influencers.
That's the
you
thing
can do this till you're 70.
Is if you create this group of people that loves you.
And ages with you.
Exactly. And so I will be going to college. Oh, knock on wood, Jesus. I'm like
you're
talking about it.
You're going to college.
Hopefully.
Your pitch is pretty good.
At some point.
No, your pitch, on that
like,
real
let
quick.
Me in, please.
Your pitch is pretty strong, just to interrupt you. Like, I should have commented on this before. You're like, not only is it me going, but all of us are going together.
No, and one of the questions for USC was like, if you had the attention of a million people, what would you talk about? And I'm like, come
on. I fucking do.
I'm like, let's do it. Yes, please, let's go. What was the initial
question? I don't even remember. I don't know, but that was just funny to me.
Me neither.
We're talking about college. We're talking about long-term strategy.
Oh, like, long-term
strategy.
You
could do this for a while.
Exactly. I think that I really early on made the decision that this was going to be my business and my job. And even getting hate on the internet, I think that I really made sure that social media wasn't the one thing that I was doing, because it gives me a lot of anxiety when I only focus on one thing. I feel like I need to have, my dad always says, like, never have all of your money in one thing. Like, always diversify your money, have it in stocks and real estate and have a job and all these different things.
A balanced portfolio.
Exactly.
He's right.
A balanced portfolio. So not only do I do that with my money, but also in my life, where I'm like, I need to devote time to myself and my family and my job and school and college and all these different things so that I don't get nervous if one of them fails.
You know, I want to talk about college more and how you're going to balance it all, but you mentioned before, which I don't even know how you're going to do it.
Oh, but, my God, me neither.
But you mentioned, like, going to how many different schools did you go to?
I've been 12 schools.
That's insane. And you said, like, that was a good thing because you get to, you know, there's positives. You get to experience different cultures and different kinds of people.
Exactly.
But, like, there's negatives, too. Like, do you have long-term friends? Like, you're not friends with that girl from second grade.
No. Yeah, exactly. I do think that that's definitely something that I had to work through and talk to someone for, which is like I can never really have long-term connections with anyone because I'm used to being a certain place and then leaving and moving on and going to the next thing. With that being said, I also am like addicted and really crave change. And so when things are too set in their ways and everything's going like a certain way, I'm like, okay, I need to like pivot and do something else.
First of all, you wouldn't be a good person to date.
Oh,
based on
goodness.
Just what you said.
No, I know.
You know,
no,
when because in a relationship, you want things to be good and steady.
No,
it's like,
I know.
Well, Ellie, when, you know, when things are good and steady,
like,
she's going to bounce.
No, I know. I recently did get a boyfriend. His name is Tanner.
Congrats. Tanner Fox?
No.
Oh, who? I don't know.
No, Tanner. Oh, my God. I grew up watching Tanner Fox.
Oh, did you really?
No, his name is Tanner Harvey.
Oh, okay. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. But he is just like me, and so we both relate on that sense that we were like, okay, we're making a pact together to, like, not, like, we need to communicate and not talk, like, not leave each other. And so I think that, like, if I found someone that has the same mindset as me, and so I'm working through that. But with that being said, this is my first relationship, and so I kind of got to the point in my life where I felt like I never really needed to focus on friendships or relationships. I always really wanted to focus on school and work and my family, because something that I did grow up with through moving was the only person that's ever going to be there for yourself is yourself.
Yeah.
And your family.
And your family.
Exactly. And so my brothers are my best friends. I'm super, super close with my whole family. And so I never really found a need to have connections with people who weren't in my immediate family.
That kind of makes me sad, though.
It is kind of. I mean, it depends how you look at it. Yes, it's sad. It also has given me this sense of, like, I can walk into any room and make friends with anyone because I've gone through it so much.
But, hold on, I go to therapy, too. So, you know, I'm going to put my therapist hat on.
Please do.
Because if you go, look, I went to one school, like, first to eighth grade, and I went to
so
one high
special.
School.
That's so special, yeah.
So, you know, but if I went to a school for, say, first and second grade, had deep friendships,
or
deep as you can get at 6 years old, you know, and then go to a different school.
Breaks your heart.
I'd break my heart, and then I would
Close
be like,
off.
close off. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I would close off. Like, I'm not going to get hurt like that again. Like, mm-hmm. I'll keep these people. We'll go play with each other's stuff.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
not going to get too close. Doing that 12 times, is that, did you, do you still have to fight through that? Like, relationship-wise with girls and?
Yes. Yes, 100%. I am a very, like, closed off person because in the back of my mind, I'm always like, I've never had this like long-term best friend that we met in first grade and all these different things that like these experiences that people have.
Mm-hmm.
I do think I'm working through it, but yes, it is something that I do deal with, and I have yet to still have a person like that I'm like, okay, I could see you being friends with me in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. So
is it tough because of clout chasing, like who you are, the following you have, because mm-hmm. it's going to be tough. You're not going to meet a normal high school student, you know, and just hang out. Like, I mean, I guess that could happen, but in kind of your circles, that normal person isn't there.
This is the thing. It's given me another excuse to be closed off mm-hmm. to people, like, again. So I'm like, oh my gosh, no, I've had people straight up use me. I've had, I've gotten into, like, a loose relationship, and then he used me for blah, 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 and that just makes me closed
for
off even
stuff?
More. Yeah, it was
that
crazy.
That is fucked up.
So obvious, too. No, it was really bad. And so that just gave me another excuse to be like, okay, I'm clearly not ready to bring in another person into my life. So I'll just focus on myself and my family and school and work and then get through it. So.
But there, you're in a good shape because you do have to keep your guard up. LA's nasty.
Yeah.
The influencer world is nasty.
Yes.
Clout chasing is a thing.
Yes.
And you always wonder what people's motive really is.
Yeah.
Do they really want to be friends with Ellie? Do they really like her? Or do they see the
concept of like collabing?
Can you
if you go
me?
To my no, I know. If you go to my page, I've probably done like 2, maybe 3 collabs with anyone, and it was like a year and a half ago, whatever.
You're not gonna do an Instagram story with me and
tag
me?
Oh my god, no, of course, but I'm saying
I'm
like I hate
with
the
you.
Idea.
I'm
I
just
hate,
kidding with you.
No, but I hate the idea of like let's all get in a room and not talk and make content and then tag each other. Like that's great for business, but I'm a Pisces, so I love like deep conversations.
Yeah.
And I love really getting to know people, and I'm very open, and so like,
how is this conversation going? Is this
great,
deeper than
I
the
love it.
Is this
yes.
deeper than the normal conversation with 17 magazine?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. That's good. That's what we're going for.
I love 17 magazine.
No, no, yeah, no disrespect.
Yeah,
no,
it's okay. But yeah, this is great. I love it.
So, how do you make girlfriends? If you're in this LA influencer world, mm-hmm. everybody's coming at you.
Yeah.
How do you do it?
It's really
How
hard.
How do you know who's like genuine?
Yeah.
Is
I think that being in in-person school and then getting into social media, so I will compare it all day long that high school and social media, the whole world of it is exactly the same and the people are the same.
There's the cool
group. The cliques
group.
Are the same
yep.
and like all the different people. And I never had that many friends in high school and I don't have that many friends in social media.
Good for
and
you.
So
you're smart.
It just goes right through. So I was just always used to it. Even with the hate on social media, like I dealt with a lot of hate and bullies. I hate that word. I feel like it's so overused. Bully.
What, bullies?
But
yeah.
There's no other really term for it. Mean girls, mean boys, whatever in mm-hmm. high school. And so I always grew up with the mindset that was like, don't care about what other people think. Again, the only person that's going to be there for you is yourself. And so take care of yourself. Really just don't care what other people are saying about you.
That's
if
easy
it's
to
negative
say. That's hard
and
to do.
Oh my gosh, it's so much easier said than done. But when you go through it so much and when you go through high school and mean girl after another mean girl, and then you get into social media and then it's mean comments and mean DMs, it's kind of just like, okay, that it's clearly a type of person. Let's move them to the side and focus on these amazing people who are cheering you on.
When you, I don't know your like origin story, the Ellie origin story. Did you get big in social media when you were in-person high school?
No, I started social media 2 weeks into quarantine. And so I was so lucky.
Recently?
Yeah, that,
wow.
Yeah, so a year and a half,
That's
which is
insane.
Crazy. I know it is. A lot of growth has gone through it, but a
wow.
lot of, I know, I scroll back, I have so many videos, and I'm like, God, this was so much work, I remember that one, and all these different things, so I know a year and a half, it's crazy. But with that being said, I was so lucky that I did start it in quarantine, where
Why?
I didn't have to deal with these in-person people, because a lot of people don't know this, but I did have a YouTube channel, and I was really into film my whole life. I actually wanted to go to NYU Film School and be a movie trailer editor, and I was the director of my school's news program, and so that's why I'm so interested in cameras and everything.
Actually, on that, I did my research, and I know that's what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like,
isn't that so funny?
It's like funny. I was thinking about it, and I'm like, who wants to edit trailers? Somebody who likes short form content.
Yes, exactly.
Did I hit
that's
it on the head?
100%, exactly. And so I never thought
you
of
didn't want
it
because most people are gonna go, I want to edit the next Martin Scorsese movie. Yeah,
but I really think, I mean, I could go through Netflix or even on planes, like I'll just scroll through the trailers because I love short form content, and I'm obviously Gen Z. I'm 17, and so, like, my attention span is so small, so yes, I do love trailers. But with that being said, I was really involved in film, and I really liked it and enjoyed it, and I would create these YouTube videos but never post them because I was so scared of what people would say. And, like, I was already dealing with people hating on me for what I was wearing or being Jewish or all these different things or my organization, my movement, whatever, that I was like, okay, I don't want to give them something, like, something that's so special about me, my creative portion inside of me.
That's smart.
Yeah, and so I don't even know if it's smart because I never did it.
But if you did, you may not be here now, right?
So, 100%. Because everything happens for a reason.
What if you put that stuff out? The mean kids, are going to clown you on it.
Yes,
and then maybe that discourages you from never doing it again.
Yeah, 100%. And honestly, I did deal with that quit mentality for a solid, like, hour. But there were so many times when I first started social media and I was getting so much hate that I was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Like, what is the point in doing all of this? And then I got two pieces of advice. First of all, one time I was, like, crying. At the beginning, I was crying in my parents' room, and my dad comes in, and he was like, Ellie, woke me up. He was like, Ellie, some people in their life, if they're lucky, get only a handful of opportunities, like, just handed to them. This was handed to you. Like, are you going to put in your effort and time and work for it, or are you going to quit? And that's, like, the biggest, like, the thing that my brothers and I and our family are the scaredest of is, like, quitting. And, like, basketball, or I played golf, whenever something would go wrong, my dad's like, are you going to quit? And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going to quit. Let's keep going.
Nice.
So I really had that mentality with that as well. And then also just kind of switching my mindset to, yes, this is social media, and yes, I am a 17-year-old girl posting myself on the internet, and, like, people have opinions on me. But on the other hand, like, this is my business. I don't want to look at, someone gave me an analogy once where, is that what it's called, an analogy? Where it's like a, you can, like, relate it to something.
Yeah. It's like an example that relates to another thing.
Exactly. So they said that, like, you can either look at this small box of rattlesnakes, like a small box of rattlesnakes, or you can turn around and see all of these different animals and happy bunnies or whatever. This is a terrible analogy, but I'm making a thing. Are you either going to turn into this interesting rattlesnake that could bite you, aka the haters, in this small tiny box, or are you going to look at all of these people and the animals that are cheering you on and want you to keep going? So it's kind of like looking on which side you're going to look at. Mm-hmm. And obviously I took the side of, like, I'm going to take, if one person says, like, oh, you helped me or you changed my day today, then I'm going to look at them, not the other people.
That's smart. Did you experience, like, success right out of the gate, you know, as soon as you started posting on TikTok?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Views-wise?
Yeah, following-wise, like, you've been at this for a year and a half, and you're already where you are, so I'm guessing you came out of the gate strong.
In, like, a week, I had 1 million followers, so that was, like,
Jesus Christ.
It was literally, like, 0 to 100 or 0 to 1 million.
Yeah.
Which is really crazy, but I also think that gave me a sense of, like, okay, now I'm hooked on it. Like, I want 1 million, but I also want 2 million people, like, looking at me. I want 3 million. Like, I really wanted to grow because I am very competitive in that sense. So it's just kept it
going. So why did you, of all people, why did you go 0 to 1 million in a week? What do you think? Why?
I think that it's just luck. It really is. It's just luck, and it's starting. Obviously, if you don't start something, then there's no possibility that you're going to do it or that it's going to take off. And so I posted and I was really lucky in the beginning. And then I put on my business cap and my hardworking skills and I continued.
So it's more than luck. You know, what kind of content were you creating at the beginning? Obviously, people were making a connection.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they wouldn't follow you. So what kind of content were you doing early on?
In the beginning, I think that it was very much, I was posting videos like how people think of TikTok, like quarantine TikTok. So it was very much like trending dances. I suck at dancing. I took a dance lesson and like I would like really wanted to get good at that. But I think it was very much like trending videos. And so obviously trending in the For You page, that is really how you grow.
Yep.
But I kind of switched my mindset where I was like, I, at the end of the day, would rather have 100 people following me for me than 1,000 people who like just seeing me dancing.
Yep.
And so I switched my mindset and my content really from being dancing videos to more fashion videos and cooking videos and mental health videos and explaining things about the world and being funny and really showing people everything about me.
Did your growth slow down when you made the pivot?
Yes and no. It depends because I think that it's very interesting being on TikTok where you can either have a group of people. I kind of had the mindset where it's like I can only do cooking videos and have 100 people who really like cooking, or I can do cooking and golf videos and have 100 people who do cooking and 100 people who do golf.
Smart.
And like now you have 200. So it's just math. But
yeah.
It was kind of like the more things that I put out there and the more different sides that I showed to myself, the more people related to it and then followed me, I guess.
When did you start getting the hate?
Right out of the gate.
What did you hear? What was the most common thing?
It was just comparison to people.
Do you get compared to Charlie a lot, right?
Yes.
But why? She's a dancer.
Yeah.
You just said you're not a good dancer.
No.
Other than being brunettes and being young, like what, you don't create the same kind of content. So why all the comparisons?
I don't know. I think that a lot of people do like to compare. I mean, that you like to compare people like, oh, if you see someone that looks like that, like, yes, I'm going to compare them to them. And so I think that even the comments, I don't know if they were that deep. I just didn't take them that deeply that the people were like stewing in their house being like, Ellie looks like this person. Like, I know just a comment. And so, well, actually it was a lot of comments, but I don't know. I mean, she's great. I try my best.
She's number one for a reason, you know?
Exactly. So, I don't know. It's still unknown to me.
What else did you get? Comparisons? What else?
I mean, it's really just everything. Like, you, just like high school, you can be doing something and be doing yourself, and someone will have something to say about you. So, again, I really try to block it out, so I can't even, like, think about it that much. But
was it hard to build up that defense, right? Because you were a million followers right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
So that means a ton of good comments and a ton of negative comments.
Yeah.
You didn't start where, like, okay, I got 10,000 followers in 3 months.
Oh, it was,
I can,
like, right
I can build
no,
up to those.
It was literally from, like, my zero or, like, my Instagram account that had 1,000 followers that was private and like everything else. Like, I zero followers on TikTok to like people being like, I love you, and also
that's a lot
being
coming
like, kill
at
yourself
you.
And it's like, oh my god, what is going on?
Yeah,
it was crazy. Yeah,
well, it forces you to grow up quick too.
Very.
You know, you're, what I find is I interview everybody, like the normal 18-year-old is different than the social media star who's 18 and been doing it for like 3 years.
Yes.
Very different skill sets.
100%.
Personality-wise, mm-hmm. You know, mentally.
It does really force you to grow up, yeah. Which, I mean, I'm fine with. I always felt like I wanted to be older when I was little. Not older, but, like, I always felt like I could go into business and be fine and things like that. And so I don't think it stopped me. But I do, like, see 1 year ago Snapchat memories, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. I was so tiny and so little, and I didn't even know. I feel like on a daily basis in social media, you can learn so much and be talented and learn in so many different realms, where it's like I can learn about the TikTok algorithm and then the next hour I'll be on a business call with a CEO and be talking about that. So it's very interesting.
And I want to talk business too. I'm glad you mentioned that. First of all, when did the first, you know, you get a million followers in a week. I'm guessing the brands are coming a week later too?
Yes.
How did that look in the beginning?
at the beginning, okay,
you didn't have a manager or anything. It's just you and your parents,
no,
right?
No, yes. Luckily, I mean, and my mom is really involved in my business as well, but my parents are very business savvy and they've created their own businesses. And so they were ready to hop right in and really help me. But I think that in the beginning, one of the like big things where my parents were like, okay, this is legit, is WME calling me because
wow,
they're friends with
that's William Morris agency, if people don't know.
Yeah, agency. But my parents obviously know them because they were in the music industry before. And so they were like, okay, this is legit, like a household name coming to you. And so I remember getting on the phone with them and getting an agent and all these different people.
Wow.
And like even just in the first 2 weeks, brands were coming to me. And I remember sitting down and being on a call with someone. They're like, okay, give us your brand list and like let's start selling people things. And I was like, absolutely not. No, 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 no. I can't
agents
do that.
Agents don't want to hear that. They want to sell.
No, exactly. No, I know. And
like,
so
let's make
my,
money
no,
now.
My parents in the back of my mind, they're like, come on, Ellie, come on. Like, let's do it. Like, people are here, like, wanting to hire you to do these things. But I knew from the very start that I didn't trust my followers yet, and I knew they didn't trust me. And you're very aware when people, if you're on TikTok, you're very aware of people blowing up overnight. And if you see that person instantly sell you something and like have all these brand deals, you're instantly going to lose trust and never want to look at their content or trust them for anything again. And so I was
you're very rare though, because how many people do you see that blow up, bang energy drink deal, here we come.
Yeah.
Flat tummy tea, let's go.
I was just talking to someone about this yesterday, a brand actually, and I don't even blame those people because a lot of people do this as their job. Yes, exactly. And they come from this place and then they're opened up to LA and this whole new world and they're like, okay, let's go, let's go, let's go. Luckily, again, I've had a really great relationship with my family where they were always like, Ellie, if you want to stop this and go to school and like continue your path, I had a life plan before this. Now this is just added on, which I'm so grateful it is. And now it's like a huge part of my life. But at the time, they were always like, it's okay. Like, you don't have to, you don't have to, no one's forcing you. And so that really, I could have chosen the path of like, yes, here's this and buy this, this is my favorite. But instead I was like, I am going to wait a few months at least and build a connection with people and then start forming my own opinions on products and then I can start working with brands. So it wasn't initial and that was my choice.
That is very smart. What was the first brand deal you did?
Ooh, everyone always asks me that in interviews and I always forget. Yeah, I always forget.
I don't want to ask the same questions as everybody else.
No, not everyone.
What was the first memorable one?
I think Maybelline was one of my like big ones.
That was early?
Yeah, that was early on. Maybelline, and I did an ad for them. And obviously all the products that I use, I really truly like, including Maybelline. So I'm like, oh my gosh, like I've been using this eyeliner my whole life and now I get to share it with people who really care. And then obviously work with the brand personally. And so that was a big one. And then Converse and all these different things in the beginning. Wow. That was really fun too.
You know, and you look, I mean, you're dealing with, you know, Fortune 500 brands. You know, I don't remember you. I follow you. I follow all the big people. And I don't remember ever seeing you do some brand I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Or, you know, pitch stuff you and your mom just created in your garage.
Yeah.
You know, it was always like big time.
Very thought out.
Strategic. On brand, most importantly.
On brand, exactly. Which is what I was going to say, which is, obviously, you want to work with the big brands because you love the big brands. Obviously, I use Maybelline, I use L'Oreal and Lancome, and I wear Converse. But also, it's about partnering with the smaller businesses that you really want to help and like really appreciate their products. Where it's like, if I could talk about essential water, if I could talk about some person that's really putting their time and effort and like full and they like sent it to me, then obviously I'm going to help them and Essentia and like post about them. And so it's never just been about name brands for me. It's always been about if I really love it, which I know is very cliche to say, but it's true. I think that's what keeps it very authentic for me and like keeps me being like, okay, this isn't fake. This is real life. So I think it's a mix.
But the negative on big brands is they can be a huge pain in the ass too.
Yeah, that's true.
Now,
I do really pride myself in being very strategic with my business, with the business side of it, and mm-hmm. being like turning deadlines very quickly, or like have a fast turnaround, and being very like, I text with all of the brands. I'm on my email. Like, it's not just a manager or an agent behind the screen. Like, I'm there being like, yes, of course I will change the text overlay. Like, of course I'll do it right now. Let's switch it over. Because I do respect these companies so, so, so much. Yeah. And so also I feel like the cliche influencers that I just post myself and then I do this and whatever. I just float around, which is completely not how it is in real life.
First of all, we'll talk to this one. This is so rare because I've interviewed literally over 100 influencers, and I'm making general statements, but they're almost all awful texters. And you know, you look at your phone.
Oh my God, that's my worst thing. I hate awful. When people don't respond. This is why, like I cannot bear to be friends with some influencers because it's like, want to hang out? And then like, no response. I'm like, what the heck?
This Maybe 2 weeks sad. Later you go, oh, sorry, I just read this.
Yeah, it
yeah, it's
sucks.
Like, dude, too late.
It's
Where were you?
No,
yeah.
That's the worst, I know.
So they're terrible texters. They don't read their emails. And I remember the first big interview I ever did was with Jake Paul. And I remember...
No way.
Yeah, think of what you...
I was a Jake Pauler.
Were you?
Yeah, I was.
He was cool. I mean, people think what they want about him. I mean, he's a little whatever now, but at the time...
Come on, seventh grade, I was like, that was my shit.
It was at the Team 10 house, the first one.
Oh my God, I went to go visit it near the pink wall. It was the whole thing. Yeah, I was really into it.
But we sat down and he was so mature about business, just like you are. He's like, nothing drives me more insane than these guys... who don't hit posting deadlines. It's like, dude, you have one job today.
It's one job.
Post by 10 o'clock and tag this. That's it.
No, it's like...
And they're going to pay you tens of thousands of dollars.
I know.
And you can't get that right?
I struggle with that too. Again, my parents really instilled the quick response to me because they worked for someone at a company, a liquor company, where they were like, if you don't respond in our group chat or respond by email within 20 minutes, you're fired. And so that's kind of a little insane. No, I know, but like that is how you build a very strong business. And obviously I don't respond in 20 minutes, but like that is, it's like, if you see something, you respond. You don't let it float around because everyone's time is so valuable. All these people are texting you. They thought of you to text you. You text them back out of respect.
Yeah.
So,
you know, you definitely have the framework, and that's shout out to your parents for kind of instilling that in you, that you show up on time, you reply to emails, you reply to texts. This is stuff that sounds obvious. And, you know, young people watching this right now, too, Ellie's fans, like, that's important, you know, responding, be well thought out, and writing is so important.
Respect.
Spelling words right in an email.
Capitalize your sentences.
Be professional. Carry yourself.
Have a period. Yeah. Yes, exactly. I put too many, at the beginning, I would put too many exclamation points. My mom's like, Ellie, one is okay, okay? You're dealing with the CEO. Like,
no emojis.
One thing. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Also, just really instilling that every single person's time is so valuable. Although you're not texting someone, if you're texting someone with a less amount of follower count, like so... the fuck what? Because mm-hmm. they're a person and it's their time on your hands that like you need to respond. And so that's something that is like my one, what's it called when you have like a click that's bad? What's it called? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
What's it called?
Do you know what we're talking about?
You don't like something. I was just thinking about
that. Anyway, it'll come
whatever.
To us. Who
it'll
cares?
Come to us
People
later.
Are yelling at their computer right now the word.
I know. I know. I hope they are. Comment it, please.
Comment below what the word is. Let's talk brands, because I focus on business. I write for Forbes. Why not? Let me see, because I took a bunch of notes here. Let's talk about some brand deals. DSW picked you to be their Gen Z rep for a back-to-school campaign.
Yes, they
did. Are you like the Gen Z whisperer? You know, of all Gen Z people, there's a lot.
I am,
you know,
Gen Z, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, I'm in it. Yeah, it is pretty cool. Yes, I worked with DSW on their back-to-school campaign. And so that was a very interesting deal because they sent me their shoes. Obviously, I've gone to DSWs before. I love the shoes that they send.
Yeah.
They sent like Doc Martens and Converse and things
cool.
like that. Yeah, so brands that I would normally wear.
I see you
wear.
In your Doc Martens. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big Doc gal. But it was very interesting because that was my first time for a very big campaign where they weren't like, come to a studio. They were very much like, if this is going to relate to Gen Z, then you need to do it yourself. And so they sent it all out and we took photos and drove somewhere and then sent it back in. But that was great. And then following that, a bunch of interviews came in and I got to talk about the whole deal as well.
What content did you film for it? Like, what was your thing?
The normal TikTok. The TikToks we filmed, we made Instagram posts, Instagram stories, things like that, all the normal stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Which is rare if you watching this might not
usually
work with brands.
More.
Usually it's, I want you to say this, this, and this. You come to our studios, we approve everything.
Yeah.
A lot of brands won't give you that kind of flexibility and freedom. That's pretty cool.
I know.
But they trust
very
you.
Cool. Yes, exactly.
And I think it's because you build up a track record of working that you can be trusted.
Yeah,
right?
100%. And I normally really like to request calls before working with brands so that it's not just an email thread going through. And so that is really where I can talk to them and really be like, okay, what do you think is so special that you want me to talk about? And then I'm going to tell you what I think is so special. And then we can collab and create this piece of content and share with people.
That's smart. I was looking, I don't even know how you say it. Is it Lacombe?
Lancome.
Yes. So I saw you did
brand.
A Lancome, oh my God, I don't know.
That's
and
okay.
Neutrogena deal.
Yes.
So I'm thinking wait, they're both skincare companies. Does she have to align herself and just say, this is my skincare company, or can you do
Neutrogena
different ones?
Neutrogena is skincare. Lancome is a makeup company. They also have skincare.
See, I don't know. Sorry.
But no, it's a mix. It's a total mix where actually this is something that I wanted to talk about where in a few months ago I had a strategy change where I was working with a lot of brands for one deals that are called one-off deals where someone will pay you once. They're very easy and they go in and
great
quickly.
Money, yeah.
Yeah. I remember one month.
But they also go away quick too.
Yes, exactly. But I remember one month, a few months ago, I posted two mascara companies. It was Maybelline and L'Oreal. And I was this is my favorite and this is my favorite. Obviously, I literally switch my mascara every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I was like, this is
Bad
not
message.
A good look. This
yeah.
is not a good look. And so I changed our business strategy to really being like, I am going to have these companies for long-term deals and create long-term deals. And so Lancome
Smart.
Was one of those people that I'm an ambassador of Lancome. I am an ambassador for Levi's. And so I work with them fully. And so I really get to promote a lot of their products and really be like, yes, I'm wearing Levi's right now. I'm wearing Lancome, of course, instead of just the one-off deals.
That's so smart because, yeah. Did you feel weird when you were filming the second mascara
it
ad?
It felt inauthentic, which I didn't
like
at all.
I just said that was my favorite one last week. This is kind of
strange.
Yeah,
exactly. And so that is where I kind of felt like I can't let this industry and business get to me. Where in the beginning, my mindset was very much don't promote as much or only promote your favorites. And then I saw myself signing with a new management and having these new people come at me and be like, yes, promote this and this, obviously let's make the most amount of money. And then that's when I was like, no, we got to stop. We're not doing this anymore. And so let's align ourselves with long-term brands. Let's have long-term deals and have relationships with the brands. And then it can just be, it can flow through and go gracefully.
I'm just laughing. In these management meetings, you're the richest, I'm guessing, in most of these meetings, and you're the youngest.
Yeah, so, I usually am the youngest.
I don't know about the richest, okay, but you can hold your own.
Yes, I can. I try my best.
So my question is, was it hard to start saying no when these kind of older people who have been in the business are telling you just promote this, and in your gut you're like, nah, I don't really want to do that.
Yeah.
Was it hard initially to say no? Did you lean on your parents to do that?
Yeah.
Or do you do that now where it's like, no, it's my brand. I've got to take ownership of it.
That's such a good question.
See, I'm good at this. Thank you.
Trust me, I credit you. You're great at this. But I do, yes, I at the beginning, I think that it was definitely harder to say no. I mean, people are coming at you and being like, work with my huge company. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've seen your company before. Of course I'm going to work with you.
And here's a bunch of money.
Yeah, exactly. And here's a bunch of money and please promote this. Of course I wanted to say yes all the time. But with that whole experience with the mascara and everything, it's been a much more long-term strategy to say no, and you have to say no so that a bigger yes will come around. That's what my dad always says, and my mom
your
always says.
Your dad's a smart guy. Balanced
they
portfolio.
Both are.
Yeah, and your mom
balanced
too. Yeah,
portfolio.
I met your mom.
They're
shout
great.
Out to your mom. Yeah.
Shout out. Yeah, exactly.
She was great. The manager texted me at like this morning, like first thing. He's like, she's running late.
Yes.
She's got a long drive. She's going to be here at this time. And you showed up exactly that time.
Uh-huh.
Where a lot of times I'll be driving to the interview and I'll get a text or a call going, oh, they can't show up till 6, you know, 6 o'clock tonight.
I would never do that to you. I would never do that to anyone. No,
yeah, it happens,
not.
Though.
Yeah,
I was like,
I know,
okay,
this girl's
impressive.
Yeah, thank you so much.
But well, do you say in those meetings, is it you who says no?
Ooh.
I don't want to do that, or
I don't think
do you do it now, or did you not in the
well,
beginning?
Well, whenever you say no, you have to come up with a reason where it's like, no, because I really, really want to work with this company, and I don't want to jeopardize that relationship right now, and so this is all a long-term game. This isn't like some quick thing that's going to happen. This is my job and my career that I'm really working towards, and so there's going to be a lot of growth for me, especially next year and the years to come, but I didn't just want to be like, kind of be a burnout where it's like all these different things and going on and going to all these events and working with all these brands and then like everything just stops. You have to really pace yourself. There's so many opportunities and you can calm down and like only promote one thing at once. It's fine, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Did it take some confidence to be able to stand up kind of for yourself early on and
yes.
say, there's five people telling me to do this. I don't want to.
When there's five people, I'm probably like, okay, I'm the young one. I'll do it, whatever. Like,
yeah,
it's
but,
fine.
But if five people are telling you to do something and you know in your gut it doesn't make sense and you have a reason why, do you ever have trouble kind of standing up to them or you're kind of seasoned at this now?
Yeah.
And
it's
no big deal.
I don't think that it's necessarily, it's not like five big people coming down on me and being like, do this. And I'm like,
sure.
Okay, let's
okay.
do it.
I'm painting a very grim picture.
No, you're painting like a person like voodoo, like do this brand deal. No, it's very much an open conversation. Obviously, I really pride myself on only having people on my team that I really enjoy and that I really care about their opinions for. And so I really respect them. And so when someone's telling me to do something, I'm obviously going to listen to them. But if I disagree, then I need to have some backup and being like, okay, but let's do this instead. And then it's kind of just pivoting. That's what this business is. It's just like pivoting. Okay, let's do this and then let's do this and go over here. It's not
it
just like a
it
one.
It doesn't go like this.
I wish it was, but it's never just a one track thing.
When you started, because I found this too with other bigger creators, when they start working with big brands, initially, they're like, I'm sitting with the CMO of Coca-Cola. And, you know, this is intimidating, one,
yeah.
but two, I'll just do whatever they want, to realizing later that actually they have the power and they're the expert, not the CMO for Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
The CMO
they're
from Coca-Cola, they'll never know as much about TikTok as you will.
Yes.
Did it take you a while to kind of get that confidence too while being in the room with these CEOs and CMOs and stuff?
100%. And there have been times where someone from a big company's team will be like, you should do this for a video. And I'm like, I know that won't get views. I know that that is very inauthentic. And I'm going to think of three other ideas and present them to you. And then usually they're always like, okay, great. Do whatever you want. Like, you got this.
Smart.
Again, in college, I signed up to take this class that's called, what is it called? It's like it's connecting marketing and social change. And so isn't that such a great class?
It's that at sounds USC, like a cool class, yeah.
Right? It's like taking and studying these big marketing campaigns and seeing what went wrong and what went right. And
I went to business school. I love those case studies.
I love it.
It's so
cool.
Love
it, love it, love it. Yes, exactly. So that I'm really excited to learn about those things. But I think that once I get that education, I can really start talking about like mending it. But I know, I mean, this is my job and this is what I do. And so.
And you take it seriously.
Yeah, of course. And I also want it to do well for the brand. If they're paying me, I'm like, I want this to go through to my followers and I want people to really understand this product. And so if you're telling me to do one thing and I feel like it's not going to work, I will speak up and be like, let's do it this way. And if they say no, then okay, we'll see how it goes. Maybe I could be wrong, but this is my opinion. So do with it what you will.
Do you ever get... Like, do you obsess? you know, like if I get a brand deal and they need, you know, a certain level of engagement or views or whatever, and I'm not hitting it or it starts out slow or something, I am stressed the fuck out.
You know,
do you go through the same thing? Obviously at a much bigger level, but do you, you know, I'm sure you, everybody has
views.
Metrics and that they're looking at.
Yeah.
Do you like stress that you're not going to hit them or it's starting out slower than it usually does? Like, is that something that is...
Oh, yeah. Like, I feel like everyone who does social media in general, even people who are on Instagram, I would care about Instagram likes and all these different things. And it's taken a lot of people telling me that it's out of your control and that there's no, just like it's out of your control if people don't like what you're doing, it's out of your control if you get a certain amount of views. And so don't put that pressure on yourself or else you're going to start jeopardizing yourself and your own morals to get these views. Just for a view, like, you know what I mean? So yes, it does obviously make me feel bad when I don't get to whatever standard I think that I should be, because I like to set myself at a certain standard, but it's out of our control. We just can't even think about
it. But Ellie, like you said before, this is your job.
Yes.
So it's one thing, and it's hard to do, but it's one thing to finally, you know, come to realization where you go, okay, I'm gonna post this picture of myself, and you know, if I usually get a million likes and this gets 800,000, okay, whatever. Maybe they just didn't like the shirt. Who gives a fuck? But when somebody's paying you big money to deliver the results, it's a different thing. It's like, that's the job part of your, this isn't just your, hey, I'm having fun on social media over here. This is like the business side. Do you critique yourself more over there than if just
then, like the normal
just
stuff?
Just the normal picture doesn't get engagement.
Of course. You feel bad, but you also feel good when it does well. And so it's kind of a trade-off.
I'm sure you hit your numbers most of the time.
Yeah. Wait, do people give you numbers that you have to hit?
No, but if it performs less than a normal one would.
Yeah. Then it makes you feel bad.
Of course. Yeah.
But then you got to tell the brand. You're like, I'll talk... Like, that's the thing, is that I pride myself on being, again, very authentic, where it's like, you can pay me for this one post, but, like, just know that if it's ever, like if you pay me to, like, what's it called, hold up this lipstick and being like, this is my favorite, I'm gonna keep that lipstick in my purse for 5 months and, like, talk about it all the time because I actually use it. So with me, it's very much like, you're coming into my family of brands and now I'm gonna talk about you all the time because I... truly love you, and I don't go for just anyone.
You seem like a pretty good person to work with.
Thank you.
If I'm a brand, I mean, that's great. Because if I'm a brand, I don't want to go, okay, she's in her purse until the check clears, and then it's in the trash.
Well, because, my parents had a business. I have always had the business
mindset. What kind of business do your
parents? They had a liquor company, and so, they were very much in that, and then they were in the music industry, but... It's so inauthentic when, like, you see people just getting paid for something and throwing it away the next day. I don't know. You have to keep, like, your integrity and your respect at some point. Mm-hmm. You feel bad, so.
The trend that I see, well, there's kind of two trends. So influencer, creator, whatever, gets big.
Yes.
They're making money, tons of money for brands. Yep. And then eventually they go, wait a minute. Why am I making all the money for them? Why don't I have my own stuff that I make all the money on and start coming out with products?
100%.
Is that the next phase of kind of your career? Is that something you're thinking about?
Yes, 100%. I think that's everyone's kind of in the back of their mind. They're like, yes, I'm going to grow right now. But when this is all over and I'm too old to do TikTok or I don't want to and I really want to turn on my business cap and do this, then like, yes, I'm going to create products and sell them myself and create your own business. And I think that it takes a lot of learning for that. But yes, that is totally, that's the goal.
Yeah. Sure. And then there's kind of a third where you look at Josh Richards and guys like that. Then they're going.
He's so smart.
Well, yeah, he's just Forbes 30 under 30.
Really?
I've interviewed him. I know his manager, Michael, really well.
Wait, congratulations.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
He's killing it. But
of course.
Yeah, he's got a great team, too. Shout out to Michael Gruen. But then he did that, but now, and there's other people too, Addison's doing this too, or Charlie's doing it, where it's like, let's get involved in startups.
Yes.
If I do a brand deal, I want a piece of the company. If it's a smaller company, let's get into, you know, tech, let's get in the, you know, crypto. And are you tech minded? Is that something you look at or you go, that's not really my wheelhouse. I'm kind of over here.
I think that that will come definitely with time.
You're still young, yeah.
Yeah, right now I'm like, there's only so many things that can go on at once. And so I just invested in my first real estate property. And so I bought
Congrats.
A property. I know, and I'm flipping it, which is really exciting.
Wow.
I know, which kind of
It's hard
sucks.
In this market.
Well, yes. Yeah. So I got the property, and now we're switching.
Where
we're
is
making,
it?
It's in Carlsbad, California. Okay. Yeah, it's on the beach. I have like a whole TikTok about it.
Oh,
if
nice.
Check it out.
All right, we'll check it out.
But right now, we're turning one house into five. So we're getting all the plans approved and everything, which is a pain in the ass, but it's great. And
wow.
I'll have updates soon. Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you so
Not
much.
Not even 18 and you're buying a beach house.
Yeah, which is great. I've always
That's
wanted to get into real estate. And I think that it's still my long-term goal to get into real estate later, but I never thought that I would have the opportunity to do it now, which is why I'm so grateful for it. But
so
it's
smart.
So exciting.
Nothing performs better long-term than real estate. That's great.
Yeah. Because my dad's always like, you can sell it, you can rent it, or you can live in it. There's like, it's yours. And even,
yep.
I was thinking about it, and even from the beginning of time, it's like, if you own a piece of property, that's way more valuable than anything else. Like the Native Americans who came here first, like it was their property, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so to have that now, it's very special.
And it's limited supply.
Yeah.
You know, you got a beach in Carlsbad that's here and there's only so many lots.
Yeah.
So that's good. It's like, okay, let me get as many as I can.
100%.
You know, and they'll go up in value
eventually.
Yeah,
and then ultimately it's helping because it's creating more, there's a housing shortage, so it's creating more houses for people, which is
Jobs
great.
For people to work on and everything else.
100%. It's a great ecosystem. I love it.
What else are you working on? Anything else to promote? I think we talked about
We talked
everything.
About it all. I know. I loved this. Thank you so much.
Of course. Anything else you want to promote? Obviously, your socials, go follow her everywhere.
If you want. If you want to.
Well, if you made it this long, either you're already following her.
Hopefully.
Or you like her and want to follow her. So go give her a follow.
Thank you so much. Yes. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thanks for driving up.
Thanks. This is great.
See you guys. Thanks for watching.
Bye.
Make sure you subscribe.
Yeah.